Now, two pigeons and Coach Prime bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
These humans get the biggest college football games on DirecTV,
and we don't even get a satellite dish.
Enough squawking.
It's Coach Prime.
Bring it in. Sure, they could get all that college football without a dish, but you still got your passion, your drive, your resolve, your...
incredible career as a football icon?
No, that's me.
Stream the biggest college football games. No satellite dish. Visit DirectTV.com.
Hey, it's Michelle Beadle. That's right, the Michelle Beadle. You're welcome. You love talking about sports. I love talking about sports. You know the only thing cooler than talking about sports? Sports! And right now, all your favorite sports are on SiriusXM. I'm talking every NFL game, every game from the NBA, NHL, MLB, every NASCAR race, golf major, major conference college sports, and all the top games in the WNBA. If it gets your heart pumping, it's on SiriusXM. So start your free trial of SiriusXM today. Visit SiriusXM.com/believe.
The MLB draft is on Sunday, and the trade deadline is on the 30th, and there are a lot of questions for the Nationals to answer. One of those questions was answered today. I'll discuss that and much more next on this edition of the Talk Nats podcast. Hello, and welcome in to this edition of the Talk Nats podcast, part of the Belief Podcast Network. I'm so glad you decided to join me today. As always, this podcast is free and available on all the major platforms. My name is Dan Holme. You can find me on Twitter. It's at DanCaps218. You can find the show on Twitter. It's at Talk Nats. And the best way that you can help grow this show is to subscribe to the Talk Nats podcast on your podcatcher of choice. And give it a 5-star rating, I sure would appreciate it. Today's episode of the Talk Nats podcast is brought to you by Bet Online. Bet Online is your number one source for all your sports betting needs this season. From baseball, golf, soccer, right to all the top fights in the UFC, MMA, and boxing, every stat, every matchup, and even live odds and spreads while the games are being played. When the game's over, head on over to our online casino and get in on a game of blackjack or poker, or unwind with one of our over 150 slot games. Head to the website today to get in on the action and use promo code BELIEVE for your 50% free bet credit on your first deposit up to $250. That's promo code BLEAV. Bet Online. The game starts here. So in this edition of the Talk Nats podcast, we talk about a lot of change that's going to be taking place, I think, for the Nationals. And some of that took place today as Hunter Harvey was dealt out to the Royals. And what does that mean for the Nationals? We'll talk about that in the show. A little bit later, we will talk about the movement that will take place. And how did we get here? Why are the Nationals sellers yet again? And then we will talk about Senzel and what the future is at third base for the Nats. But just to get it going here, there is a lot of news to cover, as this is an interesting time of year for the Nationals and kind of right on par where we had everything lining up. We knew that this is going to be an assessment year. We know that Mike Rizzo went out and got some stopgap measures out there in the form of Senzel, in the form of Winker, those types of players. But the bigger picture for those players was to flip them, hopefully, on the trade deadline. And one of those moves took place today. The Washington Nationals made an impressive comeback against the Milwaukee Brewers, overturning a 5-0 deficit to secure a surprising victory. However, this triumph was tinged with the sadness as the team bid farewell to a talented setup reliever, Hunter Harvey, who was recently traded to the Kansas City Royals. This piece in TalkNats.com. Make sure and check them out. In exchange for Harvey, the Nationals acquired Royals second overall prospect, third baseman Caden Wallace, along with the Royals' competitive balance draft pick, 39th overall, and the associated slot money. This trade significantly boosts the Nats' bonus pool for the MLB draft, elevating it and putting them in a good position, all things considered. And it's a tough thing. And I've already heard quite a few things from Nationals fans like, why would you do that? Hunter Harvey was one of the good guys out of the pen. Why would you move him? Again, bigger picture. This season was never about making a push for the World Series. This was about assessment. And there have been moments throughout this season where, you know, it felt like they were getting close to being a wild card team and maybe somehow they could do it, they could make it. But then the wheels fell off. I know that they've played well in the last couple games against the Brewers, but we can't forget about the rough outings as well, like when they got swept by the Mets. But talking about what the Nationals got in return for Hunter Harvey, Caden Wallace, a 22-year-old third baseman from the University of Arkansas and the 49th pick in the 2022 draft, brings a .282 batting average and a .777 OPS in AA this season. Notably, he led Royals minor leaguers in extra base hits and ranked high in various statistical categories. However, a recent oblique injury followed by a fractured rib has led to Wallace's placement on the 7-day IL. And oftentimes, you know, you take a look at it. It was difficult last season, I think, because Candelario was one of the bright spots on the team, a bit of a reclamation project for the Nationals. And it was hard to have that same perspective of, I can't believe they're moving Candelario. His bat is actually one of the better bats on the team. But what is one of the bigger players that the Nationals got in return is DJ Hers. And we've seen how he's played either on the Nationals or minor league baseball. So that's what it's all about. And I think that the Nationals, at least on paper, have a good option in Caden Wallace. And I think it's putting them in a pretty good position. The acquisition of Kansas City's competitive balanced draft pick provides the Nationals with three first-day selections in the upcoming 2024 first-year player draft, boasting picks at 10, 39, and 44 overall. So I think that this is all about building around the future. And if you don't know, I also cover the Capitals for Locked On Capitals. The Capitals are in somewhat of a similar position as well, as they are in the middle of a rebuild. I guess I would say the Nationals and the Capitals are at different phases of the rebuild, where the Capitals haven't fully gone into the rebuild, where it appears that the Nationals are finally starting to come out of it. But I think all things considered, this is what we need to do. You didn't part ways with any big prospects. You didn't part ways with any players that the perception is that they're going to be on this team for the long term. And Hunter Harvey was just one of those pieces that had to be moved for the greater good. Hunter Harvey, originally drafted at 22nd overall by the Nats in the 2013 MLB draft, has been a significant contributor to the team. With a 3.17 ERA over three seasons, the trade to the Royals grants them control over Harvey for this year and next, justifying the high cost of acquisition. The Nationals will need to make a roster move to fill the void left by Harvey, with Amos Willingham reportedly set to take his place in the bullpen. Now, that's the hard part, is that there are going to be some big pieces moved out of DC. I do believe it. I think that there's the possibility that Finnegan, I think there's the possibility that Lane Thomas could be on the move. But you got to think players like Finnegan and Lane Thomas, they're going to have to get a pretty big return on that. They're not just going to dump these players just to dump them. And I think that is putting the Nationals in a good position. They don't have any grand plans of making it to the playoffs this year, so they can kind of sit back, part ways with players that they feel are expendable, and this team is going to be loaded for bear in coming years. Harvey's departure, being in his final year of arbitration eligibility, will significantly reduce the Nats' payroll after the season, also opening up an important bullpen spot for a potential internal or free agent acquisition. While rumors circulate about the potential trade of other players such as Kyle Finnegan, Jesse Winker, and Dylan Floro, and Lane Thomas, no decisions have been finalized. The substantial cost attached to acquiring Harvey suggests that any further trades will also require considerable deliberation. The conclusion of tomorrow's game marks the final match before the All-Star break, setting the stage for the future team's adjustment and strategic decision. So, a lot of questions need to be answered, and pieces are starting to fall into place. Harvey was one of the guys that I kind of knew was going to get dealt, if not now, at some point, just because I don't think that he was a part of the long-term plans for the Nationals. And you know the players on the team that are part of the long-term plans. I think the players that have value are going to get dealt. The players that don't have long-term plans on this team but hold value will get dealt. That's why we bring up Finnegan, Winker, Floro, and Lane Thomas, because they hold value. But it is still a difficult position for Nationals fans, as, let's face it, some of these players have been key pieces on this team for some time. So it's hard to see Harvey move on. We thank him for his contributions to this team, but it's all about what's next for the Nationals, and hopefully brighter days are ahead. All right, so coming up here after the break, we will talk about potential movement here. We're talking about here that the trade deadline is not too far away. What other moves can we expect? I'll discuss straight ahead.
Now, two pigeons and Coach Prime bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Look at these humans watching pro football on DirecTV without a satellite dish.
I've been watching them watch football for so long, I feel like I could coach like you, Coach Prime.
Coaching ain't as easy as finding your games on DirecTV. How you gonna beat a corner blitz on third and long?
I'd probably just fly over it.
Actually, that's pretty good.
Stream football without a satellite dish. Visit DirecTV.com.
All right, welcome back into this edition of the Talk Nats podcast, part of the Believe podcast, simulcast on the Believe in Nationals podcast feed, and also streaming on 102.9 The Game, talking about MLB draft and trade news, what's going on. Again, I'm going over pieces, writings on TalkNats.com. Make sure and check them out on Twitter at TalkNats or TalkNats.com. Talking about MLB draft and trade news, the Nats... talking about the potential movement here, General Manager Mike Rizzo and his front office are focusing on the draft, but sources inform us that the Nats are open to considering any and all offers. This doesn't necessarily mean there will be a large sell-off, but they are prepared to entertain offers for players with less than 2 years of team control. That is what this is all about. It's not about having, you know, feelings about these players, these warm fuzzies about players that have been on this team for a long time, that I can't believe that they're going to move on from Lane Thomas here or this or that player. It's about a part of the bigger picture here. Talking about team performance and rebuilding. On June 23rd, the Nats were just one game under 500 and seemingly poised to be a legitimate wild card contender, but a devastating loss on June 24th led the team to their lowest point of the season at 10 games under 500. The team's roster is now the third youngest in Major League Baseball, and leadership within the young team is a concern. The team has recorded a 4-13 record since the San Diego Padres series, putting them in a position to consider trades. Again, this piece was from Talk Nats from a couple days ago, but it's interesting that the highs, the lows, there's been high points. The high points were when the Nationals were close to being in a wild card spot. The lows? Well, the recent low was getting swept by the Mets, a team that is not one of the better teams in baseball, and just reinforcing the belief that still changes need to be made. Potential trades and payroll flexibility. Players most likely to be traded are those on expiring deals, such as Winker, Floro. Players with team control next year, Lane Thomas, Kyle Finnegan, are also receiving considerable attention. Rizzo's mention of payroll flexibility and anticipation of spending in the offseason is significant. Seeing is believing. And one of the things I'm going to go ahead and say about Rizzo, as we have heard promises from him before, that he's going to go out and get that top-tier starter that never happened. And was that the learners keeping the purse strings tied shut? Or was it that there was not that veteran starter to help anchor this starting rotation? Rebuilding progress and recent transactions. The rebuild is essentially complete, and the next step involves the addition of one or two key players through free agency. Over the past 3 weeks, the Nats have bid farewell to older players and replaced them with younger prospects. This is all a part of the growing pains. And in the final segment, I'll talk about Senzel and what that means for this team, that players that were brought here, either they were going to flip or they just weren't working out and they had to cut ties with them. Talking about team performance and managerial challenges, the team struggles to overcome multiple mistakes stemming from sloppy play, which has become a defining characteristic. Manager Davey Martinez's mantra of going 1-0 today needs to be replaced and new strategies need to be introduced. We're talking gaffes on the field. And those are the kind of things that are costly. And the thing of it is there's not any real high expectation, but that does not mean that if you're going to be in the starting lineup, that you're not going to have to bring your A game. You absolutely must bring your A game if you have long-term plans of finding a spot, not just on the Nationals, but in the Major League Baseball. And talking about one of the big things is defensive challenges. While the Nats boast a legitimate Gold Glove center fielder and Jacob Young and solid performance from Luis Garcia Jr. at second base, the rest of the positions have been, well, below average. The team's defensive struggles have been evident, with the Nats ranking 29th in baseball and defense behind the pitcher and having the worst catching defense in Major League Baseball. And that's one of the issues. I think that one of the deals that's not going so well, we're talking here about players that are behind the plate. K'Bert Ruiz, for example, that there were high hopes for him. He has shown flashes of greatness. His bat has shown up, but I think all things considered, he's not what the Nationals had in mind for the long term as far as what his work is behind the plate. There has been weaknesses about runners getting thrown out and about him framing pitches correctly, that there are a lot of issues that still surround this team. So I'm going to say that the next, between now and the trade deadline, it could be a little bit rough here. There could be a lot of movement. And I think that the rest of the season, depending on how big and how aggressive Rizzo is, it could be a rough remainder of the season. But what this will do is it will potentially allow the opportunity at some point to maybe get a look at Dylan Cruz on the big team. Also Brady House, those types of players. Because, well, a lot of the big names are moved out. And once the Nationals, the perception that they are out of it, and even regardless, if they make it close somehow, I think that this provides a good opportunity to get a good look at a player like Dylan Cruz, Brady House, players like that. We've already got a good look at James Wood. And all things considered, I think he has a good upside. Surprise, surprise. But I think that the Nationals still have some work to do. Talking about player performance evaluation, given Wood's limited experience, it's reasonable to attribute his performance to inexperience, and it's unlikely to repeat. As for Abrams, it seems that his defensive range has narrowed to a 3-foot radius. If the ball doesn't come directly to him or soft contact, he's unable to make the play. Other shortstops have managed to similar plays despite similar challenges. Enough with the excuses. What's needed is tangible improvement. And we're talking about Abrams, and his bat shows up, but there have been some questions about his play in the field. Team performance analysis. The Nationals manager has been emphasizing the importance of winning games in regular time, given the team's 2-7 record in extra innings. Consequently, the team's record in regular games is 40-45. Imagine if the team's extra innings recorded were reversed to 7-2, resulting in a .500 win rate. By scoring just one more run in regular games, they could avoid reaching extra innings altogether. This year, Martinez's team has struggled in one-run games with an unsatisfactory 8-13 record. Despite recent blowouts, team games have been a common occurrence for this team. And it's one of the things that I think sometimes it's the case that the starting pitching shows up, but the bullpen folds. I think that sometimes that the pitchers don't get enough run support. There needs to be some improvement. Talking about player impact and, well, potential trades. If Winker were traded, how would it impact the team? He is the second most effective offensive player after Abrams with an 832 OPS and an 801 mark. The next closest player are Garcia Jr. at 742 and Thomas at 723. While the newcomers Wood and Yepez have potential at 695 and 862 OPS respectively, the team's deficiencies are evident. And that's one of the things that I'm talking about. We know that the Nationals will struggle if Winker is dealt. he most likely will get dealt, and it's all about swallowing that tough pill that, well, the Nationals' offense this season isn't going to show up as good as we had hoped. The tough news, however, is that there is still a lot of baseball left to be played this season. Talking here team strategy and prospects with strong starting pitching performances from Jake Irvin, Mitchell Parker, and Mackenzie Gore. And well, we have seen some of that slip as Mitchell Parker has slipped at points and Cade Cavalli's return from from surgery, along with DJ Hurz gaining experience in the minors. The focus should shift to improving both offensive and defensive positions. Winker's potential return next year at the DH should be considered should the team abandon the idea of trading him and instead focus on negotiating a contract extension now. I guess I would be surprised if that happens, but the thing I'm going to say is that, again, what kind of return are the Nats going to get? Future team setup and call-ups, Dylan Cruz could potentially join as another top prospect. As Rizzo mentioned, calling up prospects, the outfield for the 2025 season could feature Wood in right field, Young in center field, and Cruz in left field, allowing them to acclimate by the end of the season. And Jacob Young, again, a bright spot. And, you know, when he got called up last season, I didn't have real high hopes for him. But he has done nothing but impress. Potential roster changes and, draft strategy. It's unlikely the infield will continue to feature Abrams and Garcia as the middle infielders, with hopes for Abrams to improve his defensive capabilities. Lipsicum doesn't seem to be a viable option at third base. Would Rizzo call up top prospect Brady House without staggering his top prospect call-ups? If so, the service clock for Wood, Cruz, and House would all expire after the 2030 season. Some tough questions. I know that we have high hopes for some of these young players, but ultimately, will they pan out? Talking about their performance and future plans, the 2024 MLB draft is soon. The Nationals are poised to improve their farm system with the number 10 pick. With the team facing a disappointing season, they may become eligible for a number one pick in the lottery, potentially securing a top six draft position. This would add another top player next year, and with luck, another future star. Also, it's worth noting that Rizzo might leverage the trade deadline to secure additional prospects. While hopes for a wild card berth have diminished, attention will shift to the draft, followed by the All-Star break, and finally the trade deadline. Last year, Rizzo made minimal moves at the trade deadline, primarily involving Jamer Candelario, who brought back Hurz and Made. Rizzo's approach has consistently prioritized prospects capable of quick transitions to the majors since the 2021 deadline. Looking at the 40-man roster, it's evident that the deadline deals have been bolstered with the lineup. Players like Gore, Josiah Gray, Hurz, Mason Thompson, and Drew Millis, Riley Adams, K-Bear Ruiz, Abrams, Thomas, and Wood. Additionally, there are top 20 prospects in minor leagues that have been acquired through deadline trades. That's what I'm talking about, is that for years, the prospect pool for the Nationals has been pretty abysmal. That is not the case anymore. I think the Nationals are in a really good position as far as that's concerned. Talking about pitcher rotation and player development, regarding the pitching rotation, there was consideration about employing Lord for a spot start, but ultimately the team decided to give Jackson Rutledge, the 2019 first-round pick, another opportunity to start in the MLB. 2 days ago, it was suggested that transitioning Rutledge to the bullpen would be a wise move. However, Rizzo is affording Rutledge multiple chances to succeed as the MLB starter. As we know, that's not necessarily going to pan out maybe this season. Despite a disheartening 6.66 ERA for AAA Rochester this year, in a limited sample size, Rutledge holds a 6.86 career ERA in the MLB from 5 appearances. And that's the tough part. There is high hopes for a lot of these young players. Hopes. That's what I'm saying. Sometimes hopes are dashed, but in any event, that is what the hope is. While frustration persists about Rutledge's draft selection and previous pitcher development, it's important to acknowledge that evaluators, even at the time of Rutledge's draft, recognized the significant risk of transitioning him to a bullpen role. It's a reminder with each draft that Rizzo has a team faced with many choices. The foundation of star prospects and rosters is laid during the draft, One noteworthy prospect, Bryce Rainier, shares high qualities with high school shortstops. And it's an interesting thing what direction the Nationals will go in at the draft. What players will be selected? What will the Nationals look like after the trade deadline? So many questions need to be answered. And again, I'll have you guys covered here on the Talk Nats podcast talking about the movement. What players were selected at the draft? What players got dealt? What players got moved in on the trade deadline? So many questions need to be answered. All right, so coming up here straight ahead, we will talk about how Senzel was designated for assignment and why did they do that in the first place? I'll discuss straight ahead.
Now, two pigeons and Coach Prime bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Look at these humans watching pro football on DirecTV without a satellite dish.
I've been watching them watch football for so long, I feel like I could coach like you, Coach Prime.
Coaching ain't as easy as finding your games on DirecTV. How you gonna beat a corner blitz on third and long?
I'd probably just fly over it.
Actually, that's pretty good.
Stream football without a satellite dish. Visit DirecTV.com.
All right, welcome back into this edition of the Talk Nats podcast, part of the Belief Podcast Network. The Nats announced that they placed Nick Senzel on unconditional release waivers. If claimed by another team, the team would take on the remaining $2 million of his salary. It is more likely, however, that he will go unclaimed and become a free agent. And we know Senzel was the guy that was brought in because, well, there was a hole at the third base position. And the Carter Kieboom experiment, that didn't come to fruition. The players that they've tried to plug and play at third base just didn't work. After designated the third baseman for assignment last Saturday, Washington had 5 days to find a trade partner. With no trade materializing, it is now likely he will be released. Senzel had over 4 years and 150 days of service time entering his season. In April, he surpassed the 5-year mark and gained the right to refuse any minor league assignments without losing salary. The Nationals therefore opted to release him because Senzel would likely have chosen free agency over being sent outright to AAA. Sometimes these guys have attitudes. I'm not going to minor league baseball. I'm just not going to do it. Last offseason, the Nats took a chance on Senzel, the former number 2 overall pick. Senzel did not live up to the offensive potential that the Reds had hoped for when they drafted him so high. Injuries, including knee and toe issues, played in part with his struggle. Even when healthy, Senzel's offensive performance was only average. The Reds decided not to offer him an arbitration contract while still in the final stages of the rebuild. The Nats guaranteed him $2 million in the hopes that a change of scenery could unlock the potential he showed in college and minor league baseball. The Nats also planned to move Senzel back to the natural position at third after the Reds had shifted him around multiple positions in recent years. We know who the long-term solution potentially, ostensibly, is going to be, and that's going to be Brady House. But, I mean, things are subject to change. Will the Nationals try to move him around? At his new team, Senzel continued to face challenges. He started the season on the injured list after fracturing his thumb in spring training. Talk about a freak accident. Upon his return in mid-April, he hit 5 home runs in the last couple of weeks. However, his production quickly declined since the beginning of May. And that's the story of him. He didn't live up to potential. The Nationals took a chance on Nick Senzel, and it didn't pan out. Sometimes that's the case, but what they have to do is look to the future. And I think, you know, like I've talked about, if you listen to the show on a regular basis, brighter days lie ahead. So the departure of Senzel, we're talking about the departure of Harvey. This is what it's all about. It's about the greater good and knowing that this team is in coming out of a rebuild, really, and hopefully brighter days are ahead. Listen, I want to thank you for joining me on this edition of the Talk Nats podcast, part of the Belief Podcast Network, and I'll talk to you again next time.
Now, two pigeons and Coach Prime bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
These humans get the biggest college football games on DirecTV,
and we don't even get a satellite dish.
Enough squawking.
It's Coach Prime.
Bring it in. Sure, they could get all that college football without a dish, but you still got your passion, your drive.
your resolve, your...
incredible career as a football icon?
No, that's me.
Stream the biggest college football games, no satellite dish. Visit DirecTV.com.